We back. Damn it, Dustin, you snuck the crown on again. I wasn't expecting it. We back. No Joey.
Go figure.
Got a head cold. Yeah, it's okay.
Also, I'm being a little bit.
Do either of you know what episode it is?
Come on, Dustin.
Yeah, put it on me.
36.
36 it is.
I was gonna say
35. 36 it is. How you guys doing?
Good.
Fantastic.
I like that new shirt, AJ. I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh man, you probably haven't seen a bunch.
Oh, that's probably true too. Mine is rather new.
Nice.
Just breathing with the switchblade a little bit. I wore my Red Dragon shirt to work. Tuesday, I think it was. Monday or Tuesday. A lot of eyes. Nobody knew what the fuck it was. It was pretty funny. But,
Did you like your little present from AJ?
Most of those are going to Joey. I was at work. Brittany got home and she opened the mailbox and there's just a Walmart sack of just stuff in it, and she just takes a picture of it, and the only thing I see is this Alexa Bliss pop. Okay, and I was like, I don't know what that is. Like, the way she said to me was like, what the fuck did you buy? And I was like, I didn't buy that. I was like, I don't know what that came from. And then she got inside and she sent me another picture of the stuff that was involved, in which I seen this. And I was like, oh, okay, I know what that is. Dustin was giving me that. So that's what I immediately messaged Dustin. I was like, did you drop stuff off at my house? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, what the fuck did you even come to Bonello? But he was like, yeah. And he's like, the Alexa Bliss pop, he said he had a double of. Obviously, the Red Dragon thing he told me he was going to give me. He's like, oh, and there's some other stuff from AJ in there. So I get home and I like look through it. And I seen the Eddie Kingston microbrother. Well, that's not mine. And then I opened the cards up. There's a little card. So obviously I take out the two Sean Spears cards. I mean, I could probably give Joey one of them. And then I look at the rest of them. I go, Sting, not mine. Sting, not mine. Sting, not mine. Nyla Rose, not mine. Was there another one? I can't remember. I think it was just Sting and Nyla Rose, wasn't it?
I think so.
I don't remember. It's in the living room on my TV stand. Literally with the Eddie Kingston microballer for me to give to Joey next time I see him.
This motherfucker gives you all the cards that he didn't want, which is basically the duplicate. I basically sent that fuck a entire booster box.
I thought you sent those specifically for...
No.
That's fuck you, Dustin. Literally,
I sifted through them that morning.
It was literally, I got two Sean Spears cards, at least three Sting cards, and a Nyla Rose card. I feel like there was something else, another card maybe, but I don't remember. Yeah, that's hilarious. I don't remember. So the only things I seen this and I was like, so did I give that to Joey or did I keep it? Nah, fuck it, I'm gonna keep that one. I was like, I don't know if that was meant for Joey, if that was meant for me, but
no, yeah, that's for you. That's for you.
But my problem with stickers though is I gotta find a place to put it, but stickers are pretty permanent, so I don't like putting them places. But I'm find somewhere cool to put it. But yeah, that was a fun little, because my wife straight up was like, what did you buy? And I was like, I didn't buy anything, dude. Yeah. He was like, I'm not going to order an Alexa Bliss pop. I'm like, I say that and I have.
Coming to Walmart, Nick.
I have two Becky Lynch pops, like, right down there.
Yeah, give one of those to Joey.
I do need to give one of those to Joey. That's hilarious.
He did pick it first.
But, yeah, so I think I asked, how you guys doing? I think you said pretty good. Dustin, yeah, his fucking crown.
Yeah. Damn right. Still the champ, baby.
Big
Burger King crown.
Apparently this crown was actually was meant for Adam that Justin gave me because, you know, Adam didn't take it. So.
Hey, there you go. Adam take it because he's not a king. You know what I mean?
That's true. Little bitch.
You fucking heard him say it. Next time he's in fucking I'm clipping that part. And next time he's like, oh, King Adam, fucking sending it. He's like, right, he's a bitch.
You set yourself up.
Yeah,
that
you fuck. I baited your ass, and you fucking took it.
Damn.
Oh boy. But yeah.
Oh, shit.
Had some cool stuff happen in wrestling this week. I think. right?
Yeah, man, we got a bunch of shit that happened. A lot of stuff that's going on. A lot of moving pieces right now. So let's start back on Friday. Do a recap of from SmackDown of last week. Like I mentioned on our news report last week, Hit Row was supposed to come back. Sure enough, they came back, and they're calling themselves the OG3. I'm just like, really? Really? You can go that far? But Top Dollar, Ashanti the Adonis, and B-Fab. So I heard the reports of Adonis and Top Dollar were 100% coming back as a tag team, but there was no word on if B-Fab was going to be with them as well. So I don't know if B-Fab's going to be a female wrestler as well, or she's just being managerial.
Yeah.
With the whole thing of Top Dollar, I don't know if he still has his contract with the Greatest Treasure Show, with A&E, but since being released, he's kept contact with Triple H all throughout, giving him videos and stuff that him and Adonis were doing on the indie scene as they were a tag team. Just wanted to be like, hey, if we can come back, we can come back and we'll be a tag team. I can show you, you know, what we've been doing, being a cohesive team. So, oddly enough, there you go. Hit Rose back. A weird bullshit Ronda segment that basically was the same thing Becky did like 2019 with the whole you find me whatever. So they show up with a bag of money and dump it in the ring, and they're like, Ronda thought she was being a little cute with her social media. Is like, WWE, you can use that money to bring back the all that released talent due to budget cuts so I can have more asses to kick. Okay, sure.
Didn't she just lose a match?
I mean, she lost twice, technically.
So,
but whatever. Sasha Naomi, update on them. They believe that they'll probably return after the women's tag team tournament. Obviously, when they announced it and Sasha and Naomi weren't part of it, maybe they can show up and be like, well,
we never lost them.
Exactly. I was like, you could play that angle or however you want to do it. But a lot of people are saying, speculating that potentially after the tournament, that's when they come back. Gunther, saved by the Triple H era. Apparently, after the fiasco with the 4th of July episode of Raw, where Gunther showed up and destroyed R-Truth, Vince and Creative didn't really have anything after that. They pretty much said they were going to bury his ass on the main roster and be done with him. Yeah, and be done with him. So with Triple H taking over the helm, it's kind of now revitalized his character again, make sure that he gets the proper screen time because the dude's a fucking stud. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he's amazing. If you can't see the talent that he brings, I mean, he is one of the biggest named wrestlers that came out of the independents, especially from a international standpoint. The dude is just, I mean, heavy-handed, obviously.
He's also got in better shape recently, yes. Too. So,
yeah.
Which he did out of his own fruition. It wasn't like Vince went up to be like, you're too fat.
Yeah.
Shape, like, get into shape. He did it himself because he thought he wanted to show them that he wanted to be there. I was like, if the dude fucking did that without you telling anything, and then you're just gonna and bury him like that, like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But again,
I thought there was reports saying that Vince wanted to lose weight and shit, but I guess it's not.
I mean, he's gone on to say that that wasn't the case. He wanted to do it because he wanted to take it very seriously, especially in the main roster view. If you're coming from NXT, you know, the main roster, he always puts this perception and idea of what people are supposed to look like. So I guess he was like, well, I want to get in the good graces. I want to be, you know, both of them, even Kaiser. Kaiser Yusuf also got into a lot of good shape. Yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully they continue to use him, and hey, maybe he'll take on the tribal chief one day. Who knows? Dustin's boy teasing a potential WWE return, Lio Rush.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Painting pictures of him and Bobby Lashley. Will we see Lio Rush come back to WWE and after 2 months in, fucking retire for the 72 time? We'll see.
He's going to be Veer's next manager, dude.
Ooh. Nasty. That's disgusting. Well, I mean, you know what? They can go, you know, sink to the bottom of the together, so whatever. So these Vince investigations could potentially cost WWE $10 million with FFC. So with everything that's going on and all this background stuff that they've been doing, likely looking like these investigations are going to cost the company some money. Which, I mean, obviously Vince has to pay back all that money that he's already stolen from the company. But yeah, with everything with the FFC, they're like... And $10 million, at least, let's say. Jeez. So that's something. Konosuke Takeshita. He went back to Japan. His tour in America.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah, I did see that.
Has come to an end. He finished up some of his last indie shows. Went back to Japan so he can go back to DDT and do whatever. But he is looking to come back. A lot of people have asked him as well. He's like, well, would you want to even go to WWE? And he's like, no. No interest in going to WWE. He's like, if I come back to the United States, the only main promotion that I would work with is AEW. So, obviously, his time...
It's probably... I mean, I wonder, just speculation, what if it has anything to do with, like, how... when he worked with AEW for that little bit of time, how they, like, spotlighted him. He got a stage, and then you look at AEW, and other than Shinsuke Nakamura, who honestly got a good run for a minute and then has been just pushed to the side. I mean, who else has come from New Japan and, like, stood out? Like, got a platform?
Well, Konosuke is not even from New Japan.
Well, I mean, yeah, come from Japan, I guess, is a better way to say it.
Yeah, yeah, so...
I mean, you got people like Kushida and Kenta and all them that came over and just nothing.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, so, I mean... that was one relationship with Kenny Omega with DDT. You know, he wrestled for them a little bit before he became mainstream. And, you know, with the whole cross-promotion stuff, these are things that they wanted to work with to be like, hey, we get that New Japan Pro Wrestling is the number one company in Japan. But it doesn't mean that we can't shed some spotlight on a lot of these smaller promotions and give them, you know, those that same opportunity. And yeah, I mean, Takeshita came over, had like a few matches, and after those few matches became an instant star. And yeah, I mean, he had a great match with Claudio Castagnoli at Battle of the Belts. Got a lot of high praises for it. So we'll see when he comes back.
He have another really good match too?
He's had several.
He had one with Moxley, didn't he?
Yeah, he had one with Moxley. He had one with Hangman. He had one with Kingston on Rampage once. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, he's had a lot of.
That's like just proving what he's been spotlighted. Like, he got the match with Claudio on Battle of the Belts, a special show, which I know we've kind of talked crap about Battle of the Belts on here because of how they do it, where it's like, oh, it's Battle of the Belts, and there's three random belts that they just pick out. Which, I mean, they do have 4,000 belts, but...
right.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
But again, it's, you know, that type of show is obviously showcasing certain titles that normally don't get a lot of spotlight and put on some good matches. But yeah, I mean, I digress. Takeshita, whenever he comes back, obviously the door's open with AEW for them. It's pretty funny. Higher-ups and execs think from WWE think with Vince retiring...
company's going bankrupt.
Yep. The company is going to falter so bad. Obviously,
I'm curious about viewership over the past few weeks.
Viewership actually has been up for Raw couple weeks.
That's what I don't understand. It's like, there are people like, oh, Vince is gone, this company's going to falter. It's like... your viewership, that's like the main number everybody cares about, and it's gone up. Like, how are you gonna tank?
It's mainly one way they think costing you money right now.
Yo, that too. No, that's what they. I think that's what they mean. They're not looking at what numbers. They're looking at, oh my gosh, Vince is going to cost us so much money that we're going to have to go out of business. Is that he's going to have to pay out so much money in these settlements? He's going to cost us so much money.
Well, also they think from a financial perspective of sponsorship as well. If you think about it, like Vince McMahon was the name. Viewers. True.
They don't get. They don't care who's running the ship. If the numbers are there, they don't care who's there.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I don't think those execs or those board members think because Vince McMahon is the name. Like,
yeah.
When you think WWE, you think synonymously.
McMahon.
Vince McMahon is the face of the company.
Yeah.
And here's the real kicker. They think because Vince isn't around, it's going to hinder creative and creating new top stars. To think, Vince McMahon, who's created so many top stars over the last couple years, just to name a few off the top of my head, Roman Reigns. And don't forget these outstanding feuds that have these matches. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar.
Also, don't forget Roman Reigns is technically NXT guy.
True. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. What was that other one? Oh, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. Man. Fuck, these storylines, man.
We got Goldberg in there somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I think it's just like
literally the fuck. We've gotten more spotlights on people. One, we had a whole show dedicated to the United States Championship, a whole episode of Raw dedicated to the United States Championship. On top of like that, that's not only good for the title. That's good for them. That's good for people. That's good for Lashley. That's good for Ciampa.
Yeah.
That's good for Styles. That's good for all the people that were involved in that. That just elevates everyone else too that's involved in that. Like, hey, these people are fighting for this title. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me.
They even did a special package on Friday for the IC title as well. So, see?
Like, yeah. if we make those titles matter again, I mean, we're gravy, because then it's not just gonna be just Roman Reigns. It's gonna be like, oh, we're actually interested in who the fuck Gunther's gonna destroy their chest this week.
Or, yeah,
you know, at the pay per view and things like that, the titles might actually be on a premium live event. Sorry, the titles might make it onto a premium live event.
Hashtag make the mid card titles better.
Yeah.
With all these people coming back, apparently WWE has reached out to an AEW star on coming back, on any interest of coming back. Now the star has remained anonymous still.
Oh.
They haven't been out to be like, but they did confirm with everyone that are like, yeah, so and so reached out. They even told execs about this too, because they're like, well, you know, I feel pretty good here. They've treated me with respect. I like what's going on. I don't have any interest of going back right now. He felt that, I don't say it was he, they felt that they owed AEW to let them know that, hey, WWE has reached out, trying to go about poaching talent. Dustin, what the fuck?
Okay. You guys want to play a game?
Off the top of my head, I was thinking Swerve.
That is the looking at the thing, that is the first person that popped in my head as well.
Yeah.
It's not Punk, it's not Moxley.
No.
I highly doubt it's Pac. Adam Cole?
Maybe.
I could see it being Cole. Maybe Andrade?
Andrade did say he was unhappy.
Scrolling through here. I doubt it's Danielson. I doubt it's Buddy Matthews. They say it's a singular superstar, so it's not FTR, right?
I don't think so.
Claudio just left and just debuted, so I doubt it's him. Definitely Christian Cage, dude.
Yeah, most likely.
See who else it could be. I doubt it's Jake Hager. Maybe. I doubt it.
No.
I doubt it. Could it be Keith Lee? Swerve and Keith Lee, maybe? Swerve and or Keith Lee? Miro or Malachi Black, maybe. I think that's. It's not gonna be Joe. They've cut him so many fucking times. It's obviously Sean Spears. We all know this.
Probably.
Oh yeah. Probably. Absolutely.
He probably needs to go back anyways.
Yeah, that's a better options. I mean, unless it's Sting or something.
Bray.
Tony Nese.
He's not welcome back.
Oh, hold on. We gotta look at the females too. Athena just debuted. And all the other women here are pretty much AEW women. Tony Storm.
How about your girl Ruby?
Yeah, I doubt it's Ruby.
To be honest, I think Ruby would go back.
Ruby would go back, yeah.
Yeah, I think she would go back. I mean, it could have been Tony. I feel like, if you think about it, Tony was a top-tier wrestler, and if they wanted to bring her back, right now at the peak now. She's getting another title opportunity, so. And she's had more TV time than.
And she better fucking win it this time.
We can cross that road in a couple weeks.
Is that going to happen All Out?
Yeah, it is.
Fuck yeah, let's go, dude. All Out's Tony time?
I think so.
Hell yeah.
AEW wrestler is going to take part in Wrestle Kingdom 17 this year. Pretty excited about that. It's pretty interesting to see how that's going to turn out.
All right, you guys want to play a game? I'm just kidding.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, Wrestle Kingdom happens in January. It's usually right that New Year's.
Reunions or something?
Knows. Like I said, there's a lot of time to build for it as well. So I know with the whole Forbidden Door 2 that they want to do, they could potentially do that in Japan instead of in the United States. So who knows? But I don't know.
I don't think they'll do that necessarily. But it could be a, hey, let's do Wrestle... Because I think this could be a permanent thing going forward where Wrestle Kingdom, some AEW people come over, and then you have Forbidden Door where some New Japan people come over, and they just kind of help cross-promote each other.
Yeah, I mean, that could work, too.
Keep Forbidden Door in the United States. I mean, I don't know if New Japan would do it, but even if they didn't do Wrestle Kingdom where they make a Forbidden Door show over there, obviously not called Forbidden Door, called something else, but make one of their shows or make a new show about it and then just do that twice a year, flop them back, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Get Wardlow in Japan, throwing people into the crowd.
Shit. Throw Dustin into the crowd.
There you go.
Do it.
Let's see, what else we got? G1 news. So G1 ended today, or this morning for us. Real good, really, really good show.
J1 got robbed.
He did get robbed. So what I wanted to do was, let's see if I can find shit real quick. Before we broke down to what the final was. All right, so... after night 18, the final four. This was the final standings. In the A block, Kazuchika Okada won his block with 10 points, followed by Jonah, which was a first-timer, formerly Bronson Reed. I think that was his name, Bronson Reed. And then followed by Lance Archer. So Archer had a pretty good showing, even though he was tied with 6 points over Jeff Cobb and Tom Lawler. The other two don't fucking matter. Let's see. Block 2 is the block that Tama Tonga won with 10 points. In his last match, he beat Jay White. Jay White also had 10 points, but because obviously Tama won, he held the tiebreaker. So Tama would face Kazuchika Okada in a semifinal match. Block C, Naito with 8 points. He had a tiebreaker over Zack Sabre Jr. And then the D block, Will Ospreay won D block with 8 points. He needed some help from, I think it was El Fantasmo beating Shingo Takagi. And then I think he beat David Finlay because they were all in a 3-way tie. So semifinals, good, really good matches. The final this morning was Okada versus Ospreay in a absolute banger of a match.
Ospreay got robbed.
He did. Ospreay, though, so I don't know. They keep playing to this point of Ospreay versus Okada. He's only beaten Okada once and probably lost about 7 times.
Yeah, they mentioned in the match that he was 1-6, I believe.
Yeah.
So that was during the match, so before Okada won that one.
Right. So what the G1 brings to you, which they didn't have, was the briefcase. The briefcase is a guaranteed championship match for Wrestle Kingdom. But the holder of the briefcase can defend the briefcase. So someone else could beat the person.
Why was Jay White even in it then?
I mean, they have, it's just, you know,
It was like, could it be a, hey, he's in it, and then he fucking,
if he
wins,
if
he it, went, and carries the briefcase on the side, like, oh, I lose the title, I'm fucking cashing my briefcase then, dude.
Yeah. Essentially, I mean, the champion is always in the G1, but usually never wins. So, I mean, it's just more of the increased visibility and everything of having everything. So, Okada wins back-to-back G1s. I think this is his fourth G1 that he's won. If those who don't remember last year's G1, it ended in a ref stoppage because that's when Ibushi, like, breaks his arms during that match and couldn't continue, and he's been out since then. He wasn't happy about last year's win, obviously, but this year he's, like, you know, bringing, you know, the G1 some honor, essentially, and keep it some prestige value. And Okada will always be part of the G1 and do everything he can to elevate the company and the division. So, but he did give massive respect to Will Ospreay and that match that they had, which was, again, a stellar match.
Yeah, fuck you.
So. let's see. Raw. Some news for Raw. Not much going on. I mean, we still get Dexter Lumis making appearances. This time he made across the barricade, and then the security jumped his ass, but they all fell into the fucking commentary table. So all of them just went flying. It was fucking hilarious. So it really seems, I don't know, I feel like they're tying something to Lumis with Styles because it happened during Styles' match. So I'm very curious to see if they were trying to play some type of angle here.
Bro, what if you're just trying to get AJ's autograph?
I mean, he probably will tell him he don't vape, so make sure you don't vape and take that vape pen and throw it in the trash can.
That commercial is so fucking funny, dude. Like, bro, AJ just took that was I just bought that, dude. That was $40. And just
But there was also another teaser in the background. Lumis started a fire in a trash can. I don't know if anybody saw Raw, but there was another hint to all the little crazy things that are happening going on. Other than that, the main event was Theory and Ziggler. I just turned the TV off. I was like, I have zero interest in this, whatever. The continued build-up for Clash at the Castle between Bliss and Asuka and Bianca, Bayley, Io, and Dakota.
McIntyre obviously had a promo.
Yeah, he did. Trying to think. Bliss, Asuka, obviously going on to semis, whatever. It's pretty straightforward. But yeah, Drew had a fantastic promo on Raw, and even was jarring with Kevin Owens.
You can also tell they're not TV 14 yet.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because that would have been a real good spot for him to drop Don't You Pull That Bullshit With Me Anymore.
Yeah.
That would have been a fantastic time to just say fuck it and drop it. If you got to pay a fine or whatever. I don't know what the rules are for breaking that shit. Just fucking pay it. Do it. Because that promo would have sounded, I mean, it was a good promo. It would have sounded better if he could have actually, instead of just saying BS, even if he didn't say bullshit, if he could have just figured out a different way to say that, which you could tell he was kind of in the moment, he was feeling it. the word when you say that and then say BS, it kind of like, okay, we're not fucking
lessons it.
We're not eight, okay? So
yeah.
Say bullshit like a man, okay?
Oh, it's funny because McIntyre back in the past, he was doing a Raw talk, and it was with his when he was doing his feud with Sheamus, he said fuck on the interview, so it's pretty fucking funny. And he's like, oh shit,
yeah. So, like so. If he could have done that, and like just be like, because that would have been a good feel, because. That's the thing that, oh, when you're in AEW, that's the thing that gets you popped is like, oh, they flipped the camera off. Oh, they said shit. Oh, they said, you know, things that they're not saying in WWE.
Right.
Good time for him to just be like, hey, don't you pull that bullshit with me. And everybody been like, and then he drops that. Then the wrestlers, or we're fucking wrestlers, or not we're fucking, but we're wrestlers in a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
That would have been just over the top. Like, I mean, good promo. It's up there if he just says something, was able to throw out the word bullshit.
Yeah. It was a good back and forth match too. Ends in a DQ, obviously. Protecting both. Kevin Owens, who is going back to his prize fighter gimmick, where he's like, I want everything. I want all of the titles. I don't care who has them. I'm coming for you and I'm taking them. So we'll see how they plan that out as well.
They're also doing the exact opposite of what I wanted them to do with Elias. I have to say that. Ezekiel, Elias, whatever. I wanted him to go away. I wanted to not see him. I wanted him to be in the... And this is where we're going to get kayfabe real quick. I wanted him to be in the fucking hospital with the fucking fractured back or something like that. Be just fuck. We don't hear from him for months. And then he fucking shows up again. You hear the guitars. Kevin Owens is in a match. Kevin Owens just finishes the match. And all of a sudden you just hear the guitar strum. And it's like, yo, my brother Ezekiel, he can't walk anymore because of what you did. I'm here to fucking... beat your ass or whatever, and then fucking beat the shit out of Kevin Owens. But no, here's fucking.
Whoa, want Elias to beat the shit out of Kevin Owens?
I like Elias. I mean, they can have a good feud. Beat Elias beats the fuck out of Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens beats the fuck out of Elias. They both, everybody wins. But now they're doing this shit. Oh, this is my brother Elrod. And I'm like. Shut
the whole fucking family's there.
Fucking stop. Okay.
What was the dad's name? It was like Elton Jr. or something like that. it was hilarious because they did a close up on obviously the dad, and you can fucking see the bald cap. Like they didn't even fucking cover that shit at all. It was so terrible. Hopefully they finally kill that shit. Hopefully that's the last thing that they ever fucking do with Ezekiel and that shit.
Oh, this one doesn't have their names in it. There's a fucking little kid in it. Like, he's supposed to be little kid Ezekiel, whatever. And then there's a grandma. Yeah, dude. Just fucking stop it.
That's funny. NXT. This week they had their special show called Heat Wave. We had, what was it? Let's see. Mandy Rose, she retained over Zoe Stark to target Zoe's knee after obviously she came back from injury and that's what she blew out was her knee. I think this is probably a way that Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons can't compete in the NXT. The women's tag team tournament. I think this is a way to kind of pull the plug on them and enter or insert Toxic Attraction. A lot of people were questioning, like, why isn't Toxic Attraction? They're an actual tag team. I think this is one way that they can now do that. Braun Breaker retained over JD Madonna. Cora Jade beat Roxanne Perez. I felt kind of shitty about that match because literally nothing happens. It's just the blitz of like bursts of like back and forth, beat them up, beat up each other, and then they like do one or two moves. And then it ends with Cora wanting to take her kendo stick and hit Roxanne with it. Roxanne gets the upper hand and she's gonna use it, and the ref's looking at us like, don't do it. And she's like, fine, whatever. The good, you know, being baby faced, they drop it. And then fucking Cora Jade hits like this Future Shock DDT on the fucking kendo stick. And I was like, oh, so that's not a DQ. Okay, whatever. I mean, you're using it. And then she took the cane and put it over her head as she was pinning her. I was like, yeah, because that fucking makes sense. Whatever. Continue the feud. That's basically what they're looking to do. Santos Escobar and Tony D'Angelo. They had a fucking street fight, I think it was. That was actually really fucking good. Like, it was back and forth. If Santos was to lose, he would have to leave NXT. Sadly enough, that's exactly what happened. Santos is probably looking to go to the main roster. Does he bring the rest of Legado del Fantasma? It hasn't been said. They haven't said anything. Or is Tony just going to absorb them? What else did they have? They had, what was the opener? Yeah, Melo. And I'm still going to call him Fabian Aichner because I don't know what Giovanni Da Vinci's name. Vinci.
Is that a singer?
I don't care. They had a really good match. Melo retained. However, there were a lot of spots where when they were hitting the ropes back and forth and they needed to do, like, you know, the drop, jump over, whatever, there were a bunch of times where they just, like, fucking collided and, like, it wasn't supposed to happen, so they weren't hitting their cues and their marks. But it was a good match overall outside of that. So... it's very curious to see what happens. I had a joke here for Joey because he's dumbass, but he's not here. Oof. I was, you know, somebody call Joey's mama because there's a British invasion coming to NXT, and no, it's not the Beatles, even though Joey would have lived through that as well. but a lot of people from NXT UK have showed up in NXT. Gallus, who jumped Diamond Mind, Blair Davenport showed up in a backstage dynamic with Indy. You know, she's actually Ospreay's girlfriend, which is pretty funny. And then after Braun won and retained, Tyler Bate came out, the current UK champion, and they did a face-to-face stare down with the belts in the air, which is actually kind of funny.
Back in America, round of applause.
NXT UK is pre-taped. And they...
Let me guess, Tyler Bate's not the champion yet.
It's not. They've got
I was literally thinking to myself when you started bringing this up, and you said when you first mentioned Tyler Bate's name, and I was like, when he won the championship? Because, I mean, I just recently remember the whole Trent, like when Trent turned on him.
Yeah,
and I was like, that. I feel like that was just recently. Now he's already moved on to that. Now he's the champion. Hello, she's not the champion yet.
Yeah, so they actually have an ongoing.
I'm here tournament. From the future.
They have an ongoing tournament right now to crown for the vacant UK championship because Ilya Dragunov relinquished it due to injury. And the funny thing is, Tyler Bate's first match hasn't even happened yet.
Damn.
it's funny, but it's a lot of speculation. Now things have come to fruition as of today. There's a lot of speculation that NXT UK was going to die and they weren't going to do anything. I think this is obviously one, the first step to that. Now they might not even air the tournament now that Tyler Bate has showed up on US TV. And sure enough, a lot of UK stars are now going to go to NXT. A lot of NXT current stars are going to be called up to go to the main roster.
Who do they have to go to the main roster?
Well, at least Santos is going to go. We know that for a fact.
Braun going to go?
Who knows? That's Tyler the thing. Bate it's like, go? Could be. So what they're doing, September 4th, which is All Out Weekend.
We won't see it.
NXT Worlds Collide, and it's funny, it's not even going to be at a specific venue. It's going to be at the Performance Center, a special show where NXT UK stars and NXT 2.0 stars are going to fight and face off. They've got, so basically NXT UK is dead. They've canceled it. They're not going to go forward with it anymore. They've already started releasing a lot of the talent. It's continued today. Sadly enough, you brought up Trent Seven. Steven, whatever, Steven, Trent Steven, he's been released too. It was just like an hour ago. He just got let go. They are planning on doing an NXT Europe show, and that's going to start in 2023. It's probably going to be on a Tuesday, but we'll see. Dustin's girl, Brandy, had a PC match as well. Ain't that some shit?
Who?
Brandy Rhodes.
Okay, yeah. I was like, why is she there? Then I haven't seen Cody in forever. I forgot Cody did come back to the company.
Yeah, so she had a match. I think it was in front of a live crowd, too, I think. Don't know what's going to come from it, obviously. Who knows? Is she going to be a wrestler? Is she ever going to show up on TV? Hopefully not. Let's fingers crossed she doesn't show up. A little news from Blake's brand over there on Impact. A lot of stars negotiating contracts now. It was already set to believe Good Brothers were committed to work with Impact until the end of August. We're pretty much there. Yeah, so
get out. Don't go back.
Chelsea Green, who's currently a free agent, but still works with them. She's done a lot of stuff with NWA, GCW, and other indie promotions. It's funny because she's the current Impact Tag Champion with her best friend, Deanna Purrazzo. Her contract is set to expire at the end of 2022. They're open to negotiations to see if she's going to stay, if they give her an extension, however long that extension was. So when she got released from NXT or WWE and she joined Impact, it was said that she was working with them the first like 3 months, even without a contract. So we'll see. We'll see how they plan out with Purrazzo and even with Chelsea Green. Like, it, who knows? Like, I mean, their women's division's kind of now dwindling down as it is. And they've got titles on people that are not even signed to a contract. So it'll be interesting to see how things go. Johnny Gargano is in talks with both AEW and WWE.
Bidding war.
He went on the record to say the reason why he left in the first place is because of he wanted to know what the direction was for him, like what they wanted to do or with him, where he was going to go, whether that be in NXT or even main roster, and they didn't have anything for him. They didn't know what they were going to do. Now that he's got a kid as well, he's like, the work schedule for WWE is really hard. It would have him being away for long periods of time, which is something that he wasn't going to be comfortable with. But he likes what's going on in both programs now. Now that Triple H is in charge, it gives him more hope for a lot of the superstars and the brand and the program. He likes what's going on in AEW as well. But who knows? Whoever knows is going to be the bidding war for Johnny Gargano.
Not going to be in.
Helps with Ciampa.
Bitch.
Helps with Ciampa getting some TV time too.
It does. So, we'll see how things come out of that. AEW Dynamite last night.
I like how Joey actually watched Dynamite last night and then is not here.
He's not here to talk about
like
it.
The one night he's actually...
actually watching wrestling.
Yeah, and then he's like, if you'd watched it, you would know what I'm talking about. Hey, go fuck yourself. This is the first episode of Dynamite you've ever watched in the whole time it's been a show.
Yeah, that's true. Fucking bitch. Not watching my product. You fucking cunt. Punk with a fire fucking promo on Jon Moxley.
So my favorite part of the promo, and it's to the point to where it's similar to what Drew McIntyre did where he drops the forbidden word, the wrestler word. You know, they do it for the reaction. And I know AEW's been known for and criticized for mentioning WWE and then that. So Punk did that, and I was kind of like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, we're just mentioning old stuff to get pops or whatever. And then when Moxley came out, him and Moxley. That was pretty good. And then when he dropped the, oh, I would, he's like, I would put my hands on you or something, or but if I did, you would start bleeding. I don't want your blood on me. Yeah, I fucking lost it. That was fucking 10 out of 10. I was like, fucking yes. That was 100% what needed to be said. That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was really good. I'll bring up the little part before Dustin tries jumping down my throat about the whole Hangman shit that's going on with this promo.
Yeah, well, I didn't understand that.
So Punk made a point where he's like, well, we're in Charleston, Virginia. I think that's where they were last night, which is where Hangman's from. He's like, well, Hangman, you said you want a rematch. He's like, why don't you get your ass out here? So that was never part of what was supposed to happen. Punk kind of went into business on his own about that because he was giving Hangman a receipt, essentially, because in their feud and that promo that Hangman did to Punk face-to-face about you don't know what it means to be a champion. He's like, you know, when you might be, yeah, shaking hands, kissing babies out in the public eye, but, you know, once you go back that curtain and the red light turns off, he's like, what your actions do backstage mean more than anything else, and you don't fucking, you're not back there talking with people, you're not whatever. So he's like, I'm not just defending this title from you, but I'm also defending my company from you. Apparently, there's a lot of report that Hangman went into business for himself on that promo, and to take verbal jabs to CM Punk and who he is as a person, especially with this whole stuff going on with Colt Cabana and his personal relationship with him. He was not okay with it.
So easy. Fuck Hangman, right?
I mean, yeah. So it's...
AJ, hey, I've been on this train since, what, March? Come on over.
Water's yeah, fine. Yeah. No.
Come on
you know, it is easy to say that Punk is kind of notorious for, if you don't agree with something that he says or does or who he is as a person, he could kind of, I don't know, take things way too fucking personal. And it seems like this was the case for that. Because it was said backstage that he wouldn't do the job for Hangman if that was the case. Because of that promo.
Hell yeah.
So it was it was interesting.
Sandbagger Punk, let's fucking go.
So yeah, there's been a lot of that. There's a lot of talk in China of Punk wanting to quit. That was never the case. It was said that people close to him, because of everything, he wasn't going to potentially show up to last night's show. But if that was the case, it's like, but why would you do it now and not, you know, when you're actually having a feud with him?
So, are we going to get a CM Punk heel turn?
That's what I was thinking. I felt like it was he was very heelish last night.
Because he started the promo off by, I put my mean face on, but then I come out here and you people made me smile.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm fucking down for it, but...
I am too. I feel like it was very, you know, I was like, oh, this totally worked. Like, yeah, it could fucking go.
It wasn't, and what... It made it seem a bit sloppy, which also at the same time could have... I mean, it makes it seem real. Which, I mean, you always say about wrestling stuff. It's like, oh, that move was sloppy. Well, it made it look real. But it's like, whenever... It wasn't a standard promo. I talk. I stop talking. You talk. I stop talking. You talk. No, they were interrupting each other.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that's what I thought was really good. Like, and
so it was they were bouncing off each other, they were interrupting. Punk was Moxie would say something, Punk would interrupt him and say something, and it was, so like I said, it made it seem sloppy, but at the same time it was like, oh, okay, this is real. These guys, I mean, I walked away from that like, oh, these two really don't fucking like each other.
Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting. Like, there obviously there are plans for unification match for All Out.
Saying Mox is the third best member of multiple groups.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was like, oof. And he's like, then he was like, it wasn't gonna be the first John that I've beaten in Chicago either.
Yep.
And then
the second best Kingston I've been in the
locker room with, and he's like in the third best Eddie that I've ever wrestled.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, it's fucking spitting fire.
It's good shit.
It's like, they're not number one anything.
Yeah. Oh man, so fucking good. And obviously
whenever Mox's music hit, and he's like, "Oh, I'm just gonna do Snow Angels in the Ring. I got a minute."
He's like, "I got time."
And he was talking over Mox's music and everything. Yeah. It was like.
It was good. Like, everything about it was really good. And they continued to brawl throughout the night as well. You know, they were supposed to have this match at All Out, but they've now put it for next week.
That's what I was confused about, because during that promo, they were talking about, oh, this is the main event at All Out. And then later in the show, they were like, oh, this is next week. What happened with that?
I don't know. I really have no clue what.
So it wasn't like specially like
right.
No, nobody said anything. It was just, oh, we're doing that next week.
We're just gonna do it. They're like, these two can't not coexist with each other. We're gonna do it for next week. So, it's in Cleveland, which is pretty funny. It's in Cleveland. However, Cleveland? No, they had it in fucking Columbus, I think, or Cincinnati. No,
Raw was in Cleveland.
Yes, that's what it was. Raw was in Cleveland like last week, I think.
The week Ciampa had his title match.
Yeah, which was last week.
Yeah, not this past Monday, but Monday before that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's in Cleveland. I really feel like something's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, it's shenanigans 100%. Yes. I literally couldn't tell you what. I have no idea what it could be, but there's 100% shenanigans here.
Yeah. So either it's gonna like end in like a no contest.
There will not be a winner of that match.
Yes, there won't be a winner. They'll have the match at All Out, or could we see the return of MJF next week and throw his fucking name into the barrel?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said, or could we see the return of MJF next week?
Man, but are we gonna do that where we get 3 weeks in a row before a big pay-per-view of we get Punk, then then MJF, 3 weeks in a row?
I mean, why not? Right? So here's the thing. Tony's even gone on to say,
because I feel like
Kenny, with Triple H in charge, the product for WWE gotten them to step up. And I feel like the last 2 weeks, these last two shows, have been really fucking good.
Yeah, and I feel like, which, I mean, I know they had to do it because of the tournament. I wish they would have figured some other way out. But I feel like I didn't feel like Kenny's return this week was that great. I feel like Kenny's return should be an all-out return. Like, either, Mox and Punk have their match. He comes out at the end, or he comes out, whatever. The Bucks have a partner that's somebody else, and that partner gets hurt. Oh, who's going to step in? Now Kenny returns. Something like that. I feel like it was kind of, but I mean, hey, we get fucking Kenny back, so everybody wins. Yeah. But.
So, yeah, I mean, you jump to the end of the show, but whatever.
That was called Dynamite?
You jump to the end of the show, I'm saying, of Dynamite. I'm still going through, like.
Hey, we got to spit theories out here, man. We're all over the place.
That's true. No, that's true. You're right. Danielson versus Garcia. 2 out of 3 falls match. Holy shit. That was like pure old school Ring of Honor type shit there.
So, watching that match, and it was more specifically the end of the match, it was weird because obviously we're fast forwarding to get to the end of the match. But again, like you said, banger of a match. We get to the end of the match and Jericho starts beating up Danielson. And Garcia stopped him, and I immediately liked him better. I don't know why. It was like, oh, British Combat Club, Daniel Garcia? I'm fucking in.
I think
Jericho Priest Society,
what's gonna happen.
Daniel Garcia, I'm out. I don't like it at all. You put him in British Combat Club, I'm fucking in. I don't know why. I don't know why it works so much better over there than where he isn't with JS. But over there, I like before JS, I was neutral. I was like, he's good. I don't really have a feeling either way. Then you get to put him in JS, and I was like, I don't know. You put him in British Combat Club, I'm fucking in.
Blackpool Combat Club.
Blackpool, it's the same thing. Blackpool is in.
Tell that to someone in from probably. Blackpool yeah. or Essex. see what happened.
I've seen Patty talk about stuff like that on Pat McAfee. Yeah, there's anyways, Blackpool Combat Club.
Yes, I mean it always goes back to that point where right when Danielson showed up and he's like, "I want these young guys to mm-hmm. like whatever." And Daniel Garcia was one of those people that he brought.
He mentioned by name.
Yeah, so it's like here could be that pivot turn, and this is what they're was setting up for Jericho Danielson at All Out was, you know, who's Garcia gonna align with now, right? It's
hope Jericho's doing some DDP yoga so that he can be stretched, so that he's nimble for that dragon tamer that Daniel Garcia's calling it now.
Yeah, so yeah, it's very interesting to see how things play out. A bunch of filler shit in the middle. One thing that kind of didn't make sense. The whole segment was just fucking wild and crazy. The Gun Club turning on Daddy Ass and joining Malcolm Bivens. He's not even Malcolm Bivens. It's Stokely Hathaway's group. The Acclaimed showed up and saved him. And Billy Gunn is now with the Acclaimed, which is hilarious. Dustin's already pre-ordered 16 Daddy Ass's shirts. Probably. So we'll see. It was very fucking weird. It was very, very weird. But yeah, the main event, Trios Tournament, the first match, we had Los Ingobernables, or Facción Ingobernables, Rush, Dragon Lee, and Andrade. It's very funny. Dragon Lee is a face in the US, but in Mexico, he's a heel. It's very fucking funny. It's very different.
Hey, well, if you think about it, in the UK, Tyler Bate is not a champion, but in the US, Tyler Bate is a champion. So.
Well, they're completely different things. Completely two different things.
Hey, man, you're talking about borders. I'm just trying to expand it. You know? I mean, there he's a heel. There he's a face. There he's a champion. There he's not. Okay, so.
versus the Young Bucks, and of course the worst kept secret in the game, Kenny Omega returning yesterday at Dynamite.
It's tonight because AJ's gonna go watch it again here in a minute whenever yeah. after we get yeah. done recording.
Was really good. The match was really good. Kenny and Dragon Lee murked a kid in the crowd. They brought that fucking barricade like all the way up, and they still smacked that kid. That was like a good fucking couple feet distance there, and they're like, boom.
I had to go look it up because like Kenny comes out and he's wearing like once he takes his jacket off, he's wearing that shirt, and I was like, what kind of surgery did he have? Like, is it something worth covering up? And I had to go look at it. Apparently, he's had shoulder, some kind of abdominal surgery, and yep. something with his knee, I think.
Full body knee,
his leg.
It was like. Fucking every like it, yeah. it would be easier to list what he didn't have wrong yeah. with him than what he did have wrong, but yeah, he had a lot of stuff going in. So yeah, he had a compression shirt and a shoulder sling halfway through that match. That sling yeah. fucking flew off.
I mean, he's still doing Kenny shit though, so
yes, he still doing everything. They won, obviously. But here's the thing, I think Kenny for sure is not 100%. This works for him.
Perfect, because he's in a trios thing.
Exactly. This works for him because he could rely on the Bucks to pretty much carry him through until he starts getting back into the groove. They even went on to say that after the show went off the off air, he was doing the promo afterwards.
Did you watch that?
And he's like, I have not, but...
It's like a 6-minute video, and it's funny because in part of it he mentions, oh, if this never gets aired, or something like that, and then AEW puts it out on their social media accounts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's how I seen it was AEW's Facebook page, where it was like a 6-minute clip that they put out.
Yeah, so he's like, you know, it's gonna take time, yeah, for sure. And he's like, he's appreciative of the fans to be like, you know, going along with him on this journey so that he can become the best bout machine again. Because he was definitely selling a lot of the injuries, yeah, during that match too.
He did try to make it kind of clear that, hey, I'm still a bad guy. We're basically, I feel like he was saying, hey, we're still heels here. We're not flipping anything. And at one point, because he said something about being appreciative or whatever, and the fans start cheering something, and then Matt walked up and grabbed them, kind of pulled the mic to the side. He's like, hey, don't get too excited. You guys booed us for over a year, so. And
so and
my favorite part, Dustin, did you watch it? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
My favorite part of it is that it made me laugh because it's something that I feel like we reference, because we talk when we make fun of Dustin. He was talking about the fans, and he was like, oh yeah, I just kind of relate you guys to like a cat that like poops in the house. It's like, I'm mad that you did it, and I'm mad that I have to clean it up, but honestly, who's going to get mad at a little kitty cat? And I was sitting on my couch fucking dying laughing, because all I could think about is the shit we talked to Dustin.
Well, they found a new spot, by the way.
Oh, nice. Nice. Update.
Is it your mouth?
They shit. No, they shit by the back door.
Nice. Oh. Hey, he's trying to say he needed to go out. Like dogs do, you know?
Assholes. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good, it's a, like I said, 6-minute clip where he pretty much says that he's, you know, it's a work in progress, but he does want to show that he's appreciative to the fans. And he's, at one point, he kind of almost goes a little heelish right before the cat thing. He almost goes a little heelish. Like, he's like, I could be mad at you. He's like, I should be mad at you. He's like, because I'm having to do 3 to 4, like, physical therapy 3 to 4 times a day.
Yeah.
Not because of me, but because I do this for you.
Right.
He's like, I don't do this in here for me at all. Right. And so he kind of, there's a little spot where he almost went a little heelish, and then he brought it back. And
he even looked, when he came out, it couldn't have been just the tan or because he's wearing the compression shirt, but he did look a little thinner as well. Yeah. So,
he's
we'll
still
see.
Doing all his like fucking jumping up and like insecurities and shit.
What was that weird ending? Like, they start beating up dude and they just like cuts.
Oh, yeah. So, I think, I don't know if that was the intention of what Andrade and Rush were trying to do before it went off air, but because of what their feud with Lucha Brothers is, right? Is the whole mask thing.
Yeah.
And they're always trying to take them off. He's like, Rush and Andrade want no more masks in America for luchador wrestlers, essentially. So even though Dragon Lee is the brother of Rush and they're both cousins to Andrade, which is funny,
nice.
That's why they were taking off his mask. Like, it was like, he's like, fuck you, like, dishonor, fuck you, whatever, this is America, fuck your mask, screw you. So that's essentially what they did, and it was funny. Like, I was wondering if he, you know, was gonna do that, which he did, was the hammerlock DDT, and then was gonna rip his mask anyways off. Yeah, like take it off after he did it, and it just fucking flew off. It was hilarious. Yeah. I was like, oh,
my favorite part is so. Again, you know, my favorite thing to give AEW shit about, other than commentary, is their expert camera cuts, because you see in the ring. It's showing in the ring. So Bucks, the match is over. Bucks and Kenny get out of the ring. They're walking up the ramp. It shows the ring where you see Andrade, Rush, and Dragon Lee, and they're like holding his arm up. And I was like, that's not over. I was like, something's going to happen there, because Rush is kind of behind him. Like, something's going to happen there. And then right as it starts to happen, the camera cuts to Kenny and the Bucks.
Yeah,
because then you see it's one of the Bucks. I think it was Nick. I don't remember which one, but you see them be like, "Oh, what's good? Look," like pointing to the ring, like, "What's going on?" And Kenny starts to walk like he's walking back towards the ring, and then it cuts back to the ring, and that's when you see the DDT and the mask fly off and everything. And then,
yeah,
I was like, "Hey, expert camera coach, right there."
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting. They have Rampage for tomorrow. They've got a few matches. They've got another trios match there with Best Friends and the Trust Busters. So
is that a tournament match?
It is a tournament match. So, interesting to see. They went very heavy on the... Obviously, there's a cross-promotion for House of Dragon for, you know, this Sunday, this weekend. Did you notice they've got House Targaryen on the emblem on the turnbuckle pads as well?
I did not notice that. I would go look back at that.
Yeah, it was real cool. I mean, besides they had all the fucking thing everywhere else, but they had turnbuckles was their emblem, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, good partnership with all that. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. So we'll see how things play out. Looking forward for next week. I'm very curious on what they're going to do for that title match. I don't think they've got anything going on for SmackDown tomorrow besides Roman and Drew. I think they're supposed to go face to face. So yeah, see. Happens.
We are 2 weeks away. Well, 2 weeks and a few days. 2 weeks and a few days away. All Out. They got two more shows. Yep. Two more shows. Yep. So we got next week of whatever happens next week, then they got one more week after that to whatever the fuck they're gonna do, and then it's time for All Out.
Yeah, it'll be the Cleveland show, and then that's the All Out week, essentially.
Yeah, that is.
All the shows will be here
in
Chicago.
I forgot about that. So, yeah. And that's Dynamite, Rampage are both live there. Which Dynamite's always live, but Rampage is going to be live there. And then the show on Sunday.
Yep.
Should be fun. And we'll be in Chicago. Maybe if Joey shows
up. Getting shot. We'll sell his ticket.
He'd be pissed, but it'd be his fault.
It'd be his fault.
All right, we got anything else?
Nah.
All right, that is it for us. I don't think I got anything else. I think I'm good. You guys are good. We will see you guys next week for the fallout of what happens with the AEW Championship and whatever else crazy stuff. I'm sure another Vince McMahon allegation or something, another payment plan that he's trying to set up. Automatic withdrawal or something. Who knows?
He's looking for his million still.
Yeah. And then, like I said, I'm going to end it with, Switchblade got robbed. Will Ospreay got robbed. We'll see you guys next week.
Fuck Joey.
There you go.